turn to 1 Peter as we continue there. Look at that scripture before we then move to the Lord's Supper. 1 Peter 1 is where we are, where we're going to be for a while. Last week, we looked at just one word. That was the name, the person, Peter, which we could spend a day on him, as we all know. So I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. So today I want to look at the phrase, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at Peter and we highlighted how he was a disciple. We can all be disciples, but what you're going to hear today, repeatedly, and I think importantly, you can't be an apostle like Peter was. And we're going to see why in a moment. So I'm going to put the word up there, apostle, Greek word, apostello. Two words make up apostello. Apo, which means from, and stellein or stello, which means to send. It's just a simple Greek. That's not what necessarily means you can't be an apostle the way Peter was. Because, in one sense, the Dawsons could be called apostles of the gospel as they were sent away from here and from the Lord. But make no mistake about it, the apostleship of Peter is unique. And that's a couple of things I want to do today. The first one is, I want to let you know about the unique status of the apostles. There are outlines, if you didn't pick one up, hopefully there's one when you leave, because I'm going to run through these pretty quick. But I'm going to come back to each one with the scripture on the screen. So I'm going to run through them first. There's six aspects of why I cannot be an apostle. And I want to make a real bold statement, and no one else can, except the 12. Now, again, you take another term for apostle, maybe so. Six things. Number one, the church was founded upon the apostles. The apostles were eyewitnesses to the resurrection. Apostles were chosen personally by Jesus Christ. Apostles were authenticated by miraculous signs. Apostles had absolute authority. So in other words, when a pastor says he has absolute authority, you need to make your way to the back, to the exit, as quick as you can. Apostles have an eternal, unique place of honor. Again, I went through them quickly. And if there aren't those outlines, there's going to be one somewhere in these doors for you to get. So let me go through one by one with the scripture. The first one is that apostles, the church was founded upon the apostles, Ephesians 2:20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, course, prophets also very special. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We are, in 1 Peter, we'll see, living stones. We're alive. We are part of the building of the church, not the physical here. We're part of the building. We're a brick. Very much alive, but there's a foundation and there's a cornerstone, and we aren't that. Peter was, and Andrew, and some of the other. So that's one of the statements. The other one is the apostles were eyewitnesses to the resurrection. Paul argues, he has to defend himself where he says, am I not an apostle? And of course the answer is yes. Am I not free in that ministry? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? So Paul is claiming, and we, most of you know the story, he comes along a little late, but he's special, he's unique, because on the way to Damascus, he encounters the living, resurrected Christ. That's his claim right there. Now, and then we see in his history, his biography, it's very obvious he had a special time with God. The longer I serve the Lord, the more I study. How else could you write the book of Romans? I know, obviously, the Holy Spirit. Paul has a perfect grasp of the most technical theology because he spent the special time with God. So apostles were eyewitnesses. And I listed apostles were authenticated. They were chosen personally by Christ. We don't need a scripture for that. That's obvious. They were authenticated by miraculous signs. Look at this, Acts 5:15. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. In other words, everybody knew if you could get close physically to one of those guys, not just any guy, one of those 12. Now, there is a common, I say common, it wouldn't be hard to find on TV preachers who sell prayer cloths. Let me repeat, prayer cloths. Now, you could say, well, that's ridiculous. Where'd they come up with that? Well, now, what's ridiculous is how they figure it all out. But some of Paul's garments separated from him actually blessed people. That's how special the apostles were. They had absolute authority. Jude 17, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you authenticate a message? How do I know I'm being taught something that is legitimate? If it's lined up with what the 12 taught, and as I was saying at 8:15, I have by no means done enough carpentry. In fact, that word is too high for my talent. I have cut a few boards, and everybody knows this little truth. You don't cut board number 6 according to board number 5. You might make a big mistake. You need the almost perfect measured board, and that is your template. So in subsequent decades and centuries, how do I know I'm hearing a message, a lesson, because it's authenticated by the apostles? So they're very special. Now the last one was, they have an eternal, unique honor, a place of honor. Not had, they have. Revelation 21. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. If I lost you anywhere, I hope you'll come back and understand this is important. Because I'm about to say warning. There are people today who feel like they can reproduce the status of the 12. I want to repeat that. There are those who believe they can reproduce the exact status of the 12. I'm not going to name a name, but I'm going to give a particular illustration of how this comes into play. So let me say it another way. There are those who want to claim the mantle of an apostle. Now I'm going to keep getting technical here. Can anybody use the word apostle in a general sense? I think you can. I think it is dangerous because it blurs the line of those 12 and their apostolic, unique status. So if you see a church van, and I've seen a few, such and such church, apostle, so and so. That is 1,000 times different than such and such church, bishop, so and so. The word bishop is in Timothy and other places as a legitimate office. We don't use it because our tradition is not built on hierarchy. We got friends in other churches. They do. They have a bishop of a region. That is a biblical term. But when you see the word apostle, that's somebody who's saying, I'm above a bishop, and I'm above most ministers in your world. Here's one particular one that gives an example of it. This person, deceased, I'm not going to name him. This is in his publications. This is written. You can find it. This is what he said. He claimed to have a vision of Jesus, meaning, he really had an audience. Jesus came and talked just to him. And here's what was said. Dear Lord, I have 2 sermons I preach concerning the woman who touched your clothes and was healed. I received both of these sermons by inspiration. Jesus reportedly answered, "You are correct. My spirit, the Holy Spirit, has endeavored to get another sermon into your spirit. But you have failed to pick it up." So this is sermon number 3. While I'm here, Jesus is here. I will do what you ask. I will give you that sermon outline. Now get your pencil and paper and write it down. Everything I just said to you, I can show you the document where the person claimed it. Now what preacher I don't know a preacher who wouldn't love to say, let me tell you about this sermon. Jesus told me to write it down because he and I met Thursday. Who wouldn't want that kind of significant, above reproach? You can't challenge me on this because we met together Thursday. That is a dangerous total disrespect for the status of the 12. Total. Are some ministries especially anointed? Absolutely. Some men exceptionally gifted? Yes. But not like the 12. So that's a warning that one of the ways you and I, 2,000 years later, in this difficult day we live in, how do you know you can say, thus saith the Lord? Or do you say, let me tell you something, I prayed about this and I really feel strong about it. That's a legitimate statement. I really feel strong about it. Peter and Andrew, Matthew, those guys didn't say, I really feel strong about this. So, that was the introduction. Don't be afraid. I did it at 8:15. Apostles, God's gift to the church to be treasured. When you treasure a gift, first of all, you know that it's a gift and it's a great one. And it means a lot to you. And you're going to handle it with care. The gift to me and you, to the church, not in the first century. We're moving past the first century. They are a gift today, the apostles. Very quickly, three ways I would suggest to you. Number one, they are a gift from God for passing on the faith to us. Obviously, what they received, they shared. It's a beautiful thing what they did. That's just so simple. Number two, they're a gift from God in modeling authenticity of the faith. As I say often, I don't mind saying it. I'm not bragging. It is such a privilege I was given in this life to go to school. But I'm going to, as I say often, I went to school thinking, anybody who wants to argue about, is this really the Bible, I'm ready for them with all these technical things I learned that they didn't get to learn. And it's true. I got to learn some wonderful things, but here's the deal. What I enjoy doing with someone who says to me, why do you think that's the Bible? That's just a bunch of men and what they wrote. I love that discussion. I love telling them that's exactly right. Peter and James and these mere mortals that God in His sovereignty chose to use. And what I see, and I hope they get to see it eventually if they would come to know the Lord, I see this beautiful story of this perfect God who chooses to use language I can understand, who chooses to send people I can relate to, and chooses to share a message of redemption using all of us. So the apostles are part of that authentic reality. The faith that came from God in its original form was entrusted to the apostles to be shared with us. To me, there's so many ways I'd have done it different. I guess I would have dropped a Bible down in this perfect container that you couldn't mess with it. You could read it, but not tear it up, whatever. What's he do? He gives it to these guys, and they write it over 100 years, the New Testament, or several decades, not 100 years. He entrusted the original form to the apostles. The original form was not some grand announcement that would have made perfect sense. Written in the sky, in any language all over the world. That's not how he did it. The original form was not just some grand announcement, but was truth, not an announcement, truth lived out and worked out in the lives of the apostles in the life of Jesus for 3 years. I shouldn't have said it's not an announcement. Yeah, good news is an announcement. But the faith, the doctrine given to us is a doctrine worked out, fleshed out, not in 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, 1 year. 3 years among these men who failed, succeeded, doubted, had faith. The authenticity of the faith is wrapped up in the apostles. Listen to people who have to see visions. No offense to our Mormon friends, if you have friends, Mormon. Big claim to fame is the tablets discovered in upstate New York. Golden tablets. Something really, 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 really special, like I would do, except God didn't do it that way, according to His Word. Listen for people who think the vision authenticates. The special delivery authenticates. It's these men, the apostles, and then finally, they are a gift from God in providing accessibility of the faith. Do you know how many places you and I cannot go in this? Let me ask, say it another way. Do you know how many places you will never, ever enter as long as you're breathing? There's a few in this county. It'll never happen. Highly secure, and you're not on the list, and there's no reason you're ever going to be on the list. Accessibility sounds like a big, fancy word. All of us know what that means. Can I go there? Can I have that? And a lot of people out there in the world think religion, this whole idea of religion is about not being accessible. When God came to make it accessible. When I think about accessibility, first thing I think about is that if they could grasp it, you know how somebody will say to you, well, if I can do it, you can, and they mean that well. You know, they're not exceptionally gifted. I can do it, you can do it. This is one of those times if the apostles can get it, you can get it. Because we know about their lives. They were not chosen to be apostles on the basis of their intellect or religious status, but on the sovereign will of God on our behalf. It's so wonderful that these men made it clear that we can know the Lord. Because I want to just give you a little thumbnail sketch. God sent Jesus to spend time with the apostles, not just a little time, and not just casual time. More than once Jesus said, sorry, we got to go to the crowd who needed healing, comfort, and truth. Sorry, I gotta go, because I came to be with them. They don't deserve it, they're not special, but this is about you. I'm gonna spend time with them, and then it's gonna spread. Interestingly, a couple of weeks ago, one of my golf buddies told me about going to one of the convenience stores. This is where we're going to be super honest. and the guy at the cash register, not from America, said something and caught my friend off guard. And it was kind of obvious this cashier was Christian, and somehow, and so my friend said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Absolutely." He said, "I come from a part of India that the Apostle Thomas made his way," in case you didn't know it. That is a very, it's not proven, but it's one of those traditions. When you study all 12, you will find out all experts, all of them, put Thomas in India, and he was martyred in India. So this guy said, "Absolutely, my whole family," and he started very articulate about Jesus. What's what my point is, isn't that interesting? The Apostle Thomas, Bay City, Texas, behind the cash. I don't mean Thomas. I mean the influence, the connection of these 12 in real life. And they all come down to this. Jesus died on the cross, buried, resurrected, spent a little time with them, and left. And he left it to them. He told them to wait on the Holy Spirit. Then they ended up in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and they started this church that went crazy with growth. What do you do with 3,000 and 5,000? This is what you do first couple of years. You continue steadfastly, not in the lieutenants of the apostles, not in the associates. Let me read it and then I'll say it. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. Did anybody else ever teach? Sure they did. But the initial teaching that formed the solid foundation of which, on which, this church is founded, is the apostles' doctrine. Of course, eventually other people went out and it spread. But nobody like the original 12. Now the guy from India knows his history and claims a connection to Thomas. I don't know who we can, in America, you know, which 12. Don't know about that, but I know this. This church was founded in 1895. Because somebody was saved and said, "We need to have a church." And the guy that was saved and the ladies that were saved were influenced by some other people that were saved. And it goes back a couple of centuries as it moved to America, as it moved to Africa, as it moved to the rest of the world because of the spreading of the teaching initially through the 12, and it's ever since then that's been the rule or the reference point. The reference point. How do we know we're teaching right doctrine? When do I need to be concerned about what this guy is saying? When it moves away from what you find in the apostolic doctrines of the New Testament. Let's bow together. Lord, we thank you for Peter, his faithfulness to the ministry. We thank you that you worked through these mere men who you discipled and prepared. We thank you for the significance of the original 12. We thank you that we have some means of knowing and of making sure that in 2019 we can be certain, relatively sure, that we're on the right track. I thank you that this church uses the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord," very carefully. I thank you that this church takes seriously the faith once delivered to the saints. Father, help us to maintain that faithfulness as we go out into the world and we mix it up and live out the truth in real terms. Forgive us for being soft so often and wanting to be in a bubble. Forgive us for being afraid to engage this difficult context of a church world, of a society. Let us have faith and courage and boldness because of the treasure you've given us in the gospel through these 12 apostles by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.